Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God always speaks from the heart. I thank the Lord for all those who seek to do His works, His assignments. As we take our assignments seriously, we also take simultaneously the Word of God seriously. We take the influence of the Holy Ghost seriously. And many times people are missing out on God's best because of how they process what the Lord say do. They take it too lightly. A few broadcasts ago, we talked about measuring the Word of God. We mentioned it about measuring God's Word in a greater way. That happens as we receive more light. And the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to give us more light. And He does things in a systematic, foundational way. You know, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon helped us out. He said, knowledge puffeth up. It causes people to get in pride. Anytime people get in pride, it's over something. With Lucifer, it was his wisdom. He got in pride because of his wisdom and his beauty. He saw how wise he was and he looked to that. See, pride, the focus of pride is it looks within. And then it wants appreciation. And then, you know, then the thought is, why not look to me? Why should I look to God when I can look to me? And their level of satisfaction will be low because the greater things are in Him. See, the Lord has so much to say. What we know of Him is limited knowledge. We know that God loves us. He thoroughly loves us. And in heaven, I said, Lord, what is it about love? How do you know? How do you measure love? He said, in heaven, love is measured by what you do. See, God always simplifies things. I love simple. I love a simple explanation so I can build my life. He left heaven, became a man, and it's much more uncomfortable to be a man on earth that goes through four seasons than heaven that always feels great. He left all of heaven, everything he knew, and became a man. And then he was one of us. He grew like we do. He had to learn everything. He stripped himself and became a man. And he had to learn. He went to the synagogue. He was taught. He asked questions. He learned. He studied the Word of God. And he did the same thing, the very thing that Adam should have done in the first place. He was anointed. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And he began his ministry. He loves us. He did all that because he loves us. And he loves his people and all of his creation. And that's who he is. But there's so much more to know about him. When I first started, I trusted him. I believed him. And then I learned to trust him. I said, if I'm going to make Jesus my Lord, I need to do what he say do. I didn't always see what he saw. I didn't always agree with it, but I knew that he said it for a reason. I just didn't know the reason. And some of the things he said on the Sermon of the Mount and the Beatitudes, especially turning the other cheek. You know, I grew up, I learned to fight. But I found a better way to fight. And sometimes people would turn the other cheek because they're scared to fight. I'm not scared to fight. I would rather handle things in a more positive way than fight. But I'm not afraid to fight. But now I'm with the same determination I would have been fighting, I'm turning the other cheek. Why? That was in my mind. It was, why would I do that? And I asked the Lord many years later, why did he word it that? Why did he do that? And he said, I didn't want my people to provoke violence. But I also found out that if you love people when they need you to, when they need you the most, you have a higher chance of winning them to the Lord. And every person is very, very highly valued to God, highly valued. God loves man more than he loves the whole earth. And he highly values a man to die for us. Now, but pride takes what takes the focus off of God and puts it on, puts it within you. Or in people who do great things. The people who dance and sing, the rock stars, the movie stars, they're good at what they do because they're made in God's image. And God gave them those abilities. But the enemy wants mankind to be like him. Remember, Satan made nobody. He's sterile. Nobody is made by Satan. He corrupts what is. He corrupts people that God made. He tempts people with people that God made. And the one way he do it, he try to get us in pride over our accomplishments. But the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. In my experience with him, he'll teach me things in a way that I don't get in pride over it. Sometimes the people are wise and clever enough to learn God's word, and the Holy Spirit can teach them, but they have never dealt with the problems that exist. And so the Lord's teaching is when you endeavor to know him, it's up to you to put away the evil. We all share the responsibility of rejecting evil. To be a friend to the world is to simultaneously be an enemy to God. No matter how you think about it, that's going to end up being the truth. Watch. If you don't believe me and the word of God on this, everybody who gets in sin, when they start liking sin, they start backpedaling away from the things that made them strong. And they backpedal away from people who will tell them the truth. And they stop going to church. They stop going around. Even if they go to church, they avoid people who love God. And if they cross their path, they don't want to look at them. And eventually, they stop reading the word of God and they start getting weaker. Their will gets weaker. And their heart gets harder. And eventually they're in a relationship, an adulterous relationship or whatever they left God for. And then they try to justify it. And then they get angry with God. And they find a preacher that will condone it. You know, that was a YouTube video where two girls got married because some preacher told them they could. But they wanted to be Christians too. And they got married. And they was watching a prophet on TV, and one of them sent him some money. And then somebody sent her a check for a certain amount of money, over $1,000. I think it was $1,800 or $1,300. And she didn't know what it was for, but it was legitimate. And then she knew she was supposed to go to that church. And when she went to get an airplane ticket, it was the exact amount. And both of them flew out there. And the prophet told them that what you're doing is not right. God doesn't recognize that marriage. That's an abomination. He just told them like it is. And they repented. He prayed for them. They repented. And annulled the marriage. It's on the YouTube. You know, God loves his people. And he'll help you get out of sin. Cold religion don't care anything about God. It's looking to man. It wants man's approval and man's money and man's fame. Hell's going to be hot for people who preach wrong and lead people the wrong way. And it's just wrong. There's a lot of people have not been taught right. And now Jesus got to come back any day now. And he's coming. He's not waiting this time. So whatever God wants you to do, now is the time to do it. He's not going to wait this time. He's coming back. And the tribulation is going to start. The stage is already set. And the Lord's been sharing things with the prophets and showing them things. You have to watch what the prophets are saying. And listen. Take heed to the prophets, then you'll prosper. But God loves us. That's why he sent the prophets. But getting to know God requires rejecting the evil way. And when I was first starting out in learning of him, over the years, I noticed that when he teach me in a systematic way where I don't get in pride. And then I learned to reject pride. And then I learned even more. And sometimes I had to also learn to not talk too much, because he won't give you information. Sometimes the information he gives you, is other people are not ready for it yet. It can, some people will handle it different ways. And I had to learn to bridle my tongue, be quiet, and say things that he sanctioned me to say. So that people, because he loves everybody. Some things of God can sound so foreign that people think you're weird. And God may need you to speak other things that they do need, that they can receive, and that they should receive. So Paul put it this way. He said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Just because you have a knowledge that other people don't have doesn't mean you're better than they are. We're all washed in the same blood. But some people endeavor to learn more than others. And some people can rapidly learn faster than others. Whatever you've learned, thank God for it. And I thank God for everybody who people who are able to learn more than me. I want to get them activated, because that's what we need. We need people that can do greater things. It doesn't bother me if somebody do a better job. That's what I want. I hope I do all that's in God's heart, and everybody in the world do a better job than me. Then it'll be a much better place. I'm not, Moses said, I'm not offended that they prophesy. I wish they all prophesied. He told Joshua, don't be offended for me. I wish they all prophesied. That's the heart of God. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than I did. That's not a problem. How far will you go? God's not jealous because you're trying to learn. Learn all you can. He don't care. If you can handle it, learn it. Seeking, you'll find. Knocking, you, and it'll be open to you. God is ready. He's ready to teach you. If anything, he'll get more upset if you don't ask questions. When Jesus was in the boat asleep, they woke him up, said, Lord, we die. He rebuked the winds and he got upset because they didn't do it. They had been around him enough to catch on. The Lord wants us to catch on. The Holy Spirit wants us to run after him. For years, the Lord taught me about following God. I went up there to see Rob Parsley with a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Jackson. And a lot of pastors wanted to always ask him, why was he so successful in his ministry? He said, I don't know, just chase God and it happens. See, if you're after God, if you're noticing what he do, and you act on what he's doing, You get this, you open the door for more maturity, more growth, more understanding, more logic, more life. And it gives the Lord a chance to show you things. And after a while, you have no appetite for pride. But I learned you can destroy the things of darkness at your will. You can put it out of your life if you want to. You can do whatever's necessary. You can speak God's word. You can win. You can do the greater works. You can speak God's word. You can drive the Canaanites out of town. Out of the town of your heart. Your heart is like Israel. Drive out the Canaanites, all of them. See, the Canaanites represent all the things that are wrong. All the evil thoughts and persuasions, the fiery darts of the enemy that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You don't have to put up with any form of lust, anger problems, lack of temperance, greed. All these things, you can drive it out. And love is the key. You're going to need love to drive these things away from you. You got to have love in your heart to win in life, to win souls. See, God said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's how you have the victory. That's how you get out of strife. That's how you stay in the kingdom of God. A lot of people have left the kingdom of God, not out of lust and greed, not out of fornication and adultery, but strife. They did, and most people do nothing about strife because they were not taught that. They do nothing about unforgiveness because a lot of people are not courageous to teach people the truth. And sometimes people just don't have a revelation of how dangerous it is. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pointed out, if you call your brother a fool, you are in danger of hellfire. So because he said that, I was always cautious against calling people a fool. I refrained from using the word fool and foolish. But people do foolish things. And people are foolish. And some people are fools. They deceive. And they don't know it. But I'm not going to call. I don't use derogatory slanders against anybody. Against any race. Against nobody. Because they were washed in the blood of Jesus. How can I call them something derogatory when Jesus washed them in his own blood? It doesn't apply to them until they believe it. So I'm for you. I want you to live and do right. It's in your best interest. And as a person, I love you. I want people to know God like I do. It's just a prayer away. It's just if it's in their heart to serve God, if they want a better life, they can do this. But if I get in strife and don't forgive, then it gets worse. Forgiveness is a blessing. The ability to forgive is a grace that came from God. We've been given the power to become the sons and daughters of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn to operate exactly like he does. So derogatory slanders, I hate to see people use things like that. God died for everybody. People don't need to degrade themselves. And some people believe they are nothing. They believe they don't matter. They don't think they can do anything. And I don't like that either. We are made in the image of God, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What we become is up to us. And that's the message I preach. If they don't want to do the things that's necessary, that's on them. That's because they made a poor choice, a foolish choice. And people make foolish choices for different reasons. They may have failed so many times before. They're afraid to try. But most of the time, people just do nothing about the fear that exists and the problems that exist in their lives. And it causes them not to believe in other people. If you don't believe in yourself, it's hard to believe in others. And if you don't believe in yourself, the people under your authority, you're not going to believe in them either. And you'll treat them automatically like they are nothing. That's why it's so important to go to church and hear the word of God so he can coach you in the life. Pastors are coaches. They are life coaches. They help you. They are there to get you from wherever you are forward in God. And if you went to school, to Bible college, and you've learned things that the pastor knows, you still need the pastor because they keep you balanced. It's not a knowledge competition. It's just life. In life, you need people doing the same. There's strength in numbers. If you were on an island by yourself, you were stranded, you couldn't go nowhere, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. And you'll do pretty good. But you do better around others doing the same thing that you're doing, and the Holy Spirit's in them, just like he's in you. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And it's a blessing when others have the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us those confirmations we need. But every form of evil, you can drive it out at your will. Every time I see, when I see a problem that the enemy's starting, and some things I'm good at dealing with, some things are not so much. But if it's something that's new to me or different, things I hadn't experienced before, temptations I never had to deal with, first thing I want to know is, Lord, how do I kill it? It's kind of like seeing a wild animal out there, a Komodo dragon or something, and it don't supposed to be in this land. It's one on the loose, you know. Let's say it's one where I live. I'm like, Lord, how do I kill it? I got to kill it. He can't. I'm not going to give him a chance to kill me. You don't have to be afraid of something. You just have to kill it. False desires. Okay, let's kill it. Let's go on. We're gonna solve this problem once and for all. When your heart is set to obey God and you love God, then Satan is no threat to you. Goliath is no, he was no threat to David. David could not see him as a threat. He was just an unclean Philistine. He was an unclean, uncircumcised, demonic Philistine. I'll kill him. He was wondering why nobody else killed him. That's a man after God's own heart. And that's the same attitude we got to take against all evil. Same thing. Same strength. I've learned that through following God, he thinks of everything. He helps you gain ground and keep the ground you've gained. That's why he would organize the way, or he would teach me in a way where I wouldn't get in pride, I wouldn't get lifted up. He taught me how to not speak too much, to ask before I speak. Sometimes you get, Jesus will heal people and say, don't go tell anybody. And they'll go and brag about how Jesus healed. They just tell everybody. They were so excited, they forgot that Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Now, that reminds me of something. When the Lord speaks to you, anything he speaks to you, there's a charge in your heart. In everything he say, whether it's the blessing or the warning or the instruction, you have to keep the charge of that word alive in you, or it can be stolen and you will speak too much at the wrong time. Every time they got so excited, they went and told everybody. And that changed the dynamic of what Jesus was trying to do. There was a reason he said, don't do that. And we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and every charge of the Word of God. If a battery loses its charge, it can't crank the car. All right. If the battery doesn't have at least, it needs 12 volts to crank the car. It might turn it over at 10.5 volts. But if there's not enough charge and that car doesn't crank, you're going to lose your chances to crank the car. It's the same thing with the Word of God. When he says something, there's a charge. You have strength to do exactly what he said do. But you got to hold on to it. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. And it's got to be in your heart. When the angel told Mary the things that he did, Mary pondered them in her heart. See, that's how the Lord taught me about the heart. That's where you live from, the spirit. She pondered the things that the angel told her in her heart. And when she came around and John the Baptist was a baby in her, you know, in the womb of her cousin. And when Mary came around with Jesus in her womb, he rejoiced. And everything that happened, Mary pondered them in her heart. See, what if when the Lord tells you something, you ponder it in your heart? You keep the charge. You keep it alive. And you don't waste it. Then you can act on the instruction. The instruction was always important. But it's not what you're used to sometimes. Sometimes the things that the Lord would tell me, I wasn't used to it. I had to hold on to it. I had to ponder it a while. And then the instructions that come with it, I had to ponder that too. See, revelation comes with instructions. The revelations that God gives you, they come with instructions. I don't tell everybody every dream, every vision, things that God do. I wait till he sanctioned me to do something with it. You know, when he taught me about the spirit of Egypt back in 2004. But he didn't sanction me to write a book about it till 2011. I finished it around 2012. Got it published and not published, but well, yeah, published on the website. I got it copywritten and everything. Took longer to get it typed than it did to write it in the first place. But that information, he had me to put it on this website, on the Living Letters page. You can read it at your will. Because God wanted people to know that. He has people that would read it off the website. He didn't instruct me to do anything else with it. I did exactly what he said do. And God loves us. It's on both websites. He loves us and he wants us to go forward in him. Everything that God is doing in these days is important. And as we get on board, we learn things we couldn't learn any other way. Everybody's not on board with what God wants them to do. That doesn't mean they're not saved. That just means that they're not on board with it yet. And some people wrestle against what God gave them to do. Some people embrace it. Some people forget about it. But the people that go forward, Daniel said, those that know their God will do exploits. So a few people are going to do great, outstanding works. And I say few compared to the billions of people. There's 7 billion people on the planet. But God got millions that are obeying. That's a few. But if we do all this in God's heart, we can take some billions with us. If we have to do it, we'll take some millions with us. See, when the rapture come, I want it to be huge. I don't want it to be a small rapture. I want it to be huge. So we need to focus on what God has given us. Because some people won't be saved unless we finish what God has given us in our heart. They'll go right along and make the wrong choices and be left here because there weren't enough laborers to get to them. So we have to have faith in all that God gives us to do. That's the only way it's going to happen. And remember, you're going to learn a lot more from the Lord as you look to him. When your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. When we those who cooperate in life and they're good students, they just try to learn. They're the ones who actually learn. Sometimes the best students is not the smartest children in the class. Some people can learn faster than the A student. They just don't put forth the effort and they make F's. They make C's, D's, and F's when they could be making A's. They're actually smarter by far. But they're so discouraged, or they're just so foolish in that way that they don't try. And the devil give people a bad attitude against learning, against going to church. He has a lie for every good thing. And some people fall for it, and some people see through it. And the word of God will help us do exactly that. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to move.